Good morning, class. We're so glad that you're with us today. Nothing will ever, ever, ever take the place of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just heard that. Nothing should ever, ever, ever take the place of the Spirit of God. There is no substitute for the presence of God. Nothing should ever, ever take the place of the presence of God in our lives. Praise God. Well, we've been talking, preaching these last 3 or 4 weeks on this very thing, the presence of God, the presence of God. We went to Paul's exhortation to Timothy to stir yourself up. We addressed that last week, okay? The flame should always be full. The flame should always be burning. There's a possibility the flame can go out if we neglect to feed it. Remember last week we talked about the tabernacle and the priest. It was the priest every morning focused on the fire. Every morning they lit the fire on that altar. Praise God. We read to you in Hebrews, the Bible says, our God is a consuming fire. Okay? We're going to continue with that theme this morning about the fire of God and the presence of God. Praise the Lord. I want to go this morning to Exodus, the last 2 or 3 verses of the second chapter, okay? As Brother Don is going there, or is already there, Exodus was just what it says. It was a time of God's people exiting out of bondage toward and into the promised land. But before I can go to where I want to go this morning, in my studies this morning, I want to read these verses, okay? Verse 24 says, and God heard their groaning, the children of Israel's groaning. Remember, they're in bondage. They have now been in bondage for 430 years, okay? You ready for that? 430 years they have been in bondage. And the Pharaoh has got, he has got more vicious in their bondage, that he's taken away even how to make bricks easier. It's just a horrible place. Their cattle have been taken from them, their houses. They are just slaves. Now understand, this is God's people. And these are the Jews of that day. And when you went to Israel with us, you walked through the Holocaust Museum. And some couldn't even ponder and see and see the pictures or the videos. I bought a book this week on remembering the Holocaust and what transpired there. God's people, the Jewish people, being up to over 5 million of them were exterminated. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Well, here it is. They've been in bondage now for 430 years. They're God's people. Understand that. They are God's people. Here, let me go back and say this. Okay, we have got Genesis, which was, we talked about that last week, is the beginning, okay, the book of beginnings. Abraham, okay, we got Isaac, we've got Jacob, okay, and then we've got the 12 tribes, or the 12, let me put it this way, the 12 sons of Jacob, and one of those was Joseph, and Joseph had went down and became a ruler, the second in charge in the book of Genesis, okay, the very tail end of that. And his brothers came, he revealed himself as one of the greatest love stories in the Bible. I just weep when I read this story. It's an amazing, amazing. Joseph was the second one in charge, okay? But the Bible tells us that there was a king that came in to reign that knew not Joseph. I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to go back and rephrase that. There was a king that came into reign that did not know the God of Joseph. He did not know Joseph. He did not know the God of Joseph. So that begins the 430 years of reign for the people of God. Okay? So we come into Exodus, the beginning of it. There's a lot of time that's transpired. It's been compacted in this one of the books of the Pentateuch, which Pentateuch means five, and Moses was the author of the first five books of the Bible. So he's in charge. The people of God are in slavery. They're prisoners of that day. And Pharaoh doesn't know God, doesn't want to know God, doesn't know who Joseph is. And he's doing everything he can to bring extreme bondage on the people of God. Okay? We pick up verse 24, and God heard. And God heard their groaning. Don't you remember how the word God is mentioned in this verse? God heard their groaning. You're writing notes, you write that one down. God heard their groaning. Number two, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God heard, God remembered his covenant. Okay? Verse 25, and God looked upon the children of Israel. Okay? So here's God heard, God remembered, God looked, and the latter part of verse 25, and God had respect unto them. Did you get that? God had respect. I'm going to insert this right now. God has not lost, and God will never lose the respect for the Jewish people. Amen. Therefore, we should never lose the respect for the Jewish people and Israel. And there's more Jews than just in Israel. And as we have witnessed here in the last 3 weeks in America, the horrible accusation towards the people of God from a certain politician, that it's caused a furor in our nation, and it should cause an issue among us. Amen. She should be taken out of office. She should never have been put into office, because if they're not for Israel, then they're not for God. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? She's a Muslim woman. The Muslim people hate God. They have a different God, Allah. They don't believe in the Bible. They believe in their Quran. And there is an underlying element right here in our county, in our very place, has just been approved by Overland Park that the Muslim people can build a museum to Islam. Right here among us. Right here among us. And I said all that to say this. God heard, God remembered. I'm going to now modern day it. God has heard, God is remembering, God is looking, and God is going to have respect for his people. I got cold chills going down the back of my legs right now, because that brings me to the very next part of this great story. Chapter 3 and verse number 1. And it begins with this statement, this one three-letter word that says, now. Now. Now means the present. Now. After all that we've read in the 24th, 25th verse, God says, verse number 1, and now Moses, okay, let's find out who Moses was. I'm just going to take my time this morning, because you got to understand. Moses, okay, was a Hebrew boy, and he was a Jewish child. And Pharaoh, this person that hates God, hates the Jewish people, made a decree that every Hebrew child that was born would be destroyed. Yep. It's sad that that's going on today. Yeah. Not just Hebrews, but every child. It's just unbelievable what's happening that we're paralleling, okay? Destroy every one of them. Kill them. Don't, when they're born, I mean, go ahead and excommunicate them. Do away with them. If you have to burn them, kill them, cut their heads, whatever, kill them. There was a woman that had a child, and she, the midwives, would not take this child's life. It was their responsibility, and they hid him. And when they could not hide him any longer, they put him in a bassinet, a floating boat, if you please, thrust him out on the water, and the bulrushes caught him. Or he would have floated right now. I've been right on that very Nile myself. I've been there. He would have floated down the Nile to somewhere else. But it was providential that the bulrushes caught this baby. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's daughter, correct? Pharaoh's daughter. I love how God works. Pharaoh's daughter, at the time the baby gets caught in the bushes, Pharaoh's daughter is bathing in the Nile. Baby in the bushes. Pharaoh's daughter bathing in the Nile. She hears his cry. And she tells one of the Hebrew girls that's carrying her clothes and helping her, because they're slaves, go get that child out of the water. And the word Moses means drawn out. He was drawn out. Oh, my goodness. Whew! I just got a jolt. I can't go. I want to say that he was drawn out, that one day he can lead out. Praise God. He was drawn out that one day he's going to be able to lead out. But before he can lead out, he's going to have to get out. A lot of stuff to cover here this morning. They got it? She said, oh, I can't take care of this child. I'm Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, I can't take him. You know what? You know, we've saved him. Does anybody know who we can get to take care of this child? And there was a young girl that says, yeah, I've got the very person that can help you be the midwife or be the adopted mother to this child. And lo and behold, who was it? The mother of Moses. I love this. The mother of Moses taking care of the baby in Pharaoh's palace. Tell me there's not a God somewhere. I'd have to go back. God heard. God remembered. God looked. God had respect. And God is up to something. And I want to tell you, the tables are about to turn. It's going to be a little while before it all gets to taking shape. So it leads us now. Oh, let me say one more thing, okay? If you would have went back in this last chapter, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's kingdom, okay? If you would go to Hebrews, That's why the Bible says that Moses choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God that enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, okay? He was there in Pharaoh's kingdom. He had all the dainties of that kingdom, all the robes of royalty, everything that a child raised in the kingdom could have. And one day he went out and he saw an Egyptian ruling and beating a Hebrew man, and Moses killed him. He killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. The next day he goes out and he's seen two Hebrew men arguing. He said, wait a minute. Well, I mean, you're Hebrews. And they said, are you to rule over us and kill us like you killed the guy yesterday? And Moses knew then, I got to get out of the palace or I'll die. I love what someone said. God probably got Moses and said, Moses, you got ahead of me. You jumped ahead of me. I'm going to kill him. But you jumped ahead of me a little while. You know, leave it to me. I'm going to kill them all one day. But you tried to get ahead of me and started to kill them off one at a time. I'm going to do a better time. I'm going to bury him in the depths of the sea one day. Praise God. So here we go. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro. Now when he fled, he landed upon in Midian. He landed upon a well, and he seen someone watering, and he said, "Let me water your herd." And of course, the women were all out. You know, that was of the day. The women is the one that watered all the camel and all the herds. It was just a custom of that day. Brought him into the house of Jethro. Long story short, he got to marry Jethro's daughter, and that's how it was. Then he became a herdsman for Jethro. Get this. On one hand, he was the prince in a palace. Now, he's a shepherd of the sheep. Do you get what I just said? He was the prince in the palace, but now he's the shepherd of the sheep. Now that to me has went way down the ladder. And he's in a wilderness. I put it on my phone this morning when I was studying about this place of Midian, and it was actually around, as we would know, Mount Sinai or Mount, the same mountain had like five titles, Mount Sinai, Mount Seir, Mount Horeb. We're going to read this morning, the mountain of God. They're all the same, and it's in a wilderness place. And let's read on. And the Bible said the priest of Midian, he was a priest. He married a preacher's daughter, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. He is leading the flock in the backside of the desert. Don't let the word desert completely fool you, because at that place that he literally led them was on the west side of Horeb or Mount Sinai. It was kind of a grassy plain there, and he led them. The Bible said it was the desert. He went out of the desert into a grassy plain. But the long story short, he was on the backside of the desert. We can't comprehend this. He was a young man that whatever he said, they had to do back way over there in Egypt. I mean, he had the clothes of royalty. He was eating the finest of food. He had his own chariot. He had his own slave. He had his own horses. I mean, he just had it made. And now he's in a wilderness. Did you get this? Not only just a physical wilderness, a geographical wilderness, Moses is thinking to himself, well, my family's all there. My mama's all there. My men, are you kidding me? What am I doing here? I killed that guy. I had to leave. I wind up now I'm in a desert. I'm in a wilderness. And the Bible said he came to the mountain of God. You will never, that I know of, find that word one again, mountain of God, okay? Mountain of God, okay? That word, mountain of God, also meant Mount Sinai. And we know what happened there. There's so much of this, I can't even cover it. Mount Sinai, I'm not going to go there. Mount Seir, Mount Paran, okay, all of these are part of this mountain of God. And the Bible said in verse number 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, here it is, in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Now, I want you to look at the word angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. In the original, it was called the angel. Very well could have been Christ himself. Don't let that throw you. Because I can take you, I can take you to Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 5. And the Bible said that Joshua was there by himself. And the angel of the Lord came and Joshua said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And what was the reply of the angel? "I am the commander of the Lord's army." The Lord himself. Amen. Praise God. Okay, I want to help you with another one. When the three were going to call down destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah, who was it that ate cornbread in the tent with Abraham? The Lord himself. Praise God. Isn't that something? It's amazing. Praise God. So here we are, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And notice the sequence. And he looked. There was a reason it said that. Now he's on the backside of a desert. It was a very, very, very common thing for bushes to catch on fire. There was a burning bush. I was just reading an article from North Dakota State University. And it was, there's an official name. It's something sanctum, sanctus, which means sanctified or sacred. It was a bush that burned of that day. We were there at the church, the cathedral of Elizabeth. I think I want to say it's Elizabeth, but the mother that was her son was the leader of the Crusades. Built this church in honor of this very place right here. We did not go to it. I'd love to have went to it, but it's right here where this burning bush took place. And it is still there today. You had to go up way high to enter into a 30-foot door to go into this. It's not a cathedral, but it was the church, a monastery or whatever of that day. And it's built right here in honor of this. And he looked. It caught his attention. Now understand, we're talking about 40 years here. Remember, there's three 40s in Moses' life, okay? Just kind of teaching, preaching. There's three 40s. The first 40, he is in as a child and raised in Egypt's bondage. He's there 40 years, okay? The second 40, he is here in this desert. 40 years now he's been married to the priest of Midian. 40 years. Okay? Then he will lead Egypt out and spend 40 years in the wilderness. Okay? There's three 40s. 40 numerically always represents testing. 40. 40 days fasting, Elijah's. 40 days fasting, Jesus. Moses is on top of the mountain for 40 days. 40 numerically is a time of testing. Elijah went on that meal for 40 days, okay? 40 numerically means testing. And the Bible said he looked and took another step. He beheld or behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. So that lets me know by this rendering that he has seen or saw bushes burning before, but bushes burning being consumed. This is a bush burning that's not being burned up or not being consumed. Just by that wording right there. But the bush was not consumed. He has saw and seen many bushes burning, but he had never saw one that wasn't consumed, and that caught his eye. And the Bible said, and Moses said, I will now turn aside. You can't miss that. You can't miss that. I will now turn aside. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. Verse number 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. I had never seen this. Had you ever saw this, that it said Moses, Moses? Okay, remember Abraham, Abraham. Peter, Peter. But he never said Ruth, Ruth. Yeah, it takes longer for men to hear than it does for women sometimes. Yeah, and that's why he had to say Moses, Moses. I got to make sure I've got his attention. So it was a double pronunciation, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Praise God. Here am I. Okay? I'm going to read to you a verse this morning in Isaiah. It's in the Amplified. I love this rendering of it. Behold, it's in Isaiah 43 and 19. If you want to write that one down, you can write it down. And 43 and 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it and know it? Will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and in the desert. Isaiah prophesied this right here. God, he said, I'm going to do a new thing. What do you mean? Bush not burning? Bush is burning, not being consumed. That's a new thing. Moses had never saw that. He saw a new thing. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. Praise God. Oh, you know what I'm hoping God's going to do? God's going to do a new thing for America. Amen. He's going to bring a revival we hadn't seen in a long, long time. God's going to do a new thing. He's going to bring a move of God to America. God's going to do a new thing. God's going to do a new thing. God's going to bring the White House to its knees. God's going to do a new thing. Everybody say new thing.
New thing.
New thing. Anybody want a new thing? You want God to do a new thing in your life?
Yes.
You, are you listening? Do you really want God to do a new thing for you?
Yes.
A new anointing, a new vision, a new vitality, a new revelation, something new.
Yeah.
Praise God. He said, I will do a new thing. And he said here in this verse, this new thing done right here, it was God that did it. Did you hear what I just said? God did this. When man gets out of the way, God's going to do a new thing. When we step out of the way and let God do it. See, we're trying to generate revival. We're trying to generate holiness. We're trying to generate righteousness. We're trying to do this within ourselves. I'm going to give you a verse. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do something in your wilderness. I'm going to do something in your desert. I want to tell you, there will always be a wilderness in your life that precedes the new thing in your life. But you don't want the wilderness. You want the promised land. You don't want the wilderness. You don't want the desert. You don't want to be alone. You don't want to be lonely. You don't want to be by yourself. It's not our nature. We want to be in the crowd. We want to be where it's happening. We want to be where it's taking place. God said, I'm going to take him to the backside of a desert, and there's nobody him but a bunch of stinking sheep, and I'm going to show him that I'm God, and I'm going to do it through a burning bush. I'm going to do something brand new. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to be excited about God doing a new thing in your life today. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. My. A new thing. God said, I'm going to do it right in the middle of your wilderness. Oh, Holy Spirit, I just heard. Thank you, God. You know what David said? David said, he will prepare a table right in the front of my enemies. And the question was, can God provide a table in the wilderness? You watch God, because let me tell you, God is in control of the wilderness. Where did Jesus fight the battle? He fought the battle in the wilderness. Where did he win the battle? He won the battle in the wilderness. And the same way you got to hear what I'm about to say. The same way the Bible said he was led into the wilderness. Did you get what I just said? The Spirit of God. Oh, so I said, well, I want the Spirit to lead me. He may lead you in a place that you've never been. He may lead you in a place that you don't want to go. I'm going to say this one. He may lead you in a place that you're not accustomed to being in. He may lead you into a place that you're not comfortable. That's good preaching, Brother Robert, this morning. In the same way he was led into the wilderness, after 40 days and 40 nights fighting wild beasts, read your Bible. The Bible said angels came and ministered unto him. Angel of the Lord in the wilderness, right here. Angel of the Lord in the wilderness. Angels came and ministered to him, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. Y'all missed a great place just right there. Y'all missed a great opportunity to shout it right then. It's how you go into the wilderness, it's how you come out of the wilderness. If you go in the wilderness in the Spirit, it don't matter how many beasts, how many battles, and what you face. When you come out on the other side, you're going to come out in the Spirit. When in the Spirit, come out in the Spirit. When in power, come out in power. When in victory, come out in victory. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be afraid of the wilderness. I wish I had thousands to preach this to this morning, because people need to hear this. We're so concerned about the world. Well, I don't know. I've never been. Oh, I'm in a wilderness. You know, the Bible says, and I wish I had the verse, and I preach this on why the wilderness. Why the wilderness? And the scripture says, God said, this is why the wilderness. Number one, I have let you go through it to humble you. It's in the Bible. I have let you go through the wilderness to prove you. So if you're going through a wilderness today, it could be that God is trying to bring humility into your life. It could be that he's proven to see what is inside of you. The wilderness will reveal the person that you are. I'm going to stop there. The wilderness will not break you. The wilderness will not make you. The wilderness will reveal you. Did you get that? The wilderness will not break you. It will not make you. It will reveal you. Because when they left Egypt's bondage, they were 11 days from being in Canaan. And what took 40 years could have only taken 11 days. But God said, you got to be humbled and you got to be proven to go into my promised land. And it's going to take me. It didn't take. I heard that, Holy Spirit. I heard that. It did not take God 40 years to get the people of God into Canaan. It took 40 years for God to get Egypt out of them. How long is it going to take for God to get Egypt out of you? How long is it going to take for God to get things out of your life to take you into the promised land? He's trying to prove you. He's trying to humble you. Amen. But we want the melons. We want the leeks. We want the onions. God would have died in Egypt. That's what they said. I'd be so careful. I mean, I don't know. If I'd have ever said that, would to God we'd have died in Egypt than to be brought out here. Would to God we'd have still been back there. They were really saying we were better off back there in bondage than we are here in freedom. You better be careful what you say to God when you're going through your wilderness. This is not in my notes, but we got to take care of this wilderness deal. We got to take care of the wilderness in our life. We got to take care of why the wilderness. We got to take care. Oh, I heard that. We are bewildered by the wilderness. Yeah. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, was Dorothy's words going down the yellow brick road. Wilderness. And the Bible said he's in a wilderness on the backside of the desert, and he sees a bush burning and it's not consumed. And the Bible said he looked at it and beheld it and he turned aside. It's only when you're willing to turn aside that God can talk to you. Amen. This word just came to me. It may have been Shakespeare that said, "Ain't a fool's rush in where angels dare to trod. Fools rush in where angels dare to trod." Moses didn't realize it, but he's just about to come into the most life-changing moment of your life. Your wilderness may precede the most life-changing moment in your life. Did you hear what I just said? Your wilderness may precede the most life-changing moment in your life. So don't stop at the wilderness. You've got to keep moving forward. When Moses says, "I'll turn aside, but I'm the shepherd. I'm the leader of the sheep. I'm supposed to be carrying him to water, carrying him to the grass. I'm going to turn aside." See, that is the crux of the matter in 2019. Are we willing to take time to turn aside? Are we willing to stop what we're doing? Are we willing to get out of the rat race? Are we willing to move out from where the world is? The world is in a hurry going nowheres. I asked Paula for permission to read what she had given me this morning. I enter my throne room by my prayer room. She'll give you a copy. When I shut the door of this world behind me, the door of the next world opens to me. No wonder so often I felt unprepared, unqualified, intimidated, embarrassed, or unsuited for my day. I had chosen to forego my quiet place of prayer and peace for the rat race of pleasure and pressure. I rushed off into the world without kneeling at the throne. Because in my closet, my battle attire is waiting. God knows I will need to prevail today. Even when I do not know, to consider going out, I love this, to consider going out before going in, I am foolish. Dare us to go into the world before we have entered into His world. Dare us to go into society before we've entered into our closet of prayer. Moses saw something that caught his eye, and he saw a burning bush, and he knew that there was something different about this. And he said, I'm going to turn aside. And only when he turned aside did God talk to him. God can't talk to you until you learn to turn aside. God says what he needs from me as I enter my prayer closet. It's simple. This really stirred me. Stop and linger. Listen and learn. Trust and obey and leave with peace. I'm reading Paul's writing. Never have I left my prayer room without visiting my throne room. What is whispered in the prayer room is heralded in the throne room. So what happened in the prayer room on earth has now affected the throne room in heaven, and the effects will be supernatural and eternal. Wars are won. Marriage is restored, children come home, diseases are healed, crisis is averted, hurt is forgotten, forgiveness is forgiven, all from a closet. Tormented minds have peace, lonely hearts suddenly feel the warmth of a holy presence, confusion gives way to enlightenment, all from my closet. Storms have peace, be still be spoken over them. Soldiers are protected and safe. Nations avoid political downfalls. Leaders are influenced with wise decisions. Catastrophic occurrences are squelched, all from a closet with a connecting door to the throne. I nearly titled my message this morning, Stop, Look, and Listen. Stop. Look, behold, and listen. That's what God was telling Moses. Moses, stop, and you look, and you listen. He really wanted to say, Moses, this is going to blow your mind, what I'm about to ask you to do. This can blow your mind. Wait a minute, God. I'm fine. I killed that guy. I'm gone. Ain't never going to see me again. I'm married. I got kids. Man, I got a flock. I'm in here 40 years. I was doing good till the day. I got to go home every night, sleep in my bed. See my wife, be with my kids, see my father-in-law, my mom-in-law, until today. God, why are you going to mess with me today? Because it goes back to 24 and 25 of the second chapter. I heard their groanings. I remembered my covenant. I have respect to those people. And I've got to do something about it. You know when God's going to change America? When he hears the voices of the church. When he hears the voice of the church, the groaning of the church, the weeping of the church, the crying of the church, then and only then, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, then shall you hear from heaven, then shall you heal the land. Then, praise God. We'll pick back up next week on this statement. Are you ready? Little did he realize that God was about to call him to go back to the place he had left. God is about to take him from the desert back to Pharaoh and face Pharaoh. The last time he was there, he's killing one of Pharaoh's servants. In other words, you're about to leave your comfort zone. That sets me up for next week. You're about to leave your comfort zone. Stay tuned. Same time, same station next Thursday morning. You're about, say it, I'm about to leave my comfort zone. I'm just an ordinary person about to do an extraordinary thing because I serve an awesome, extraordinary God. Yes. That's what he's about to do. We'll talk about that next week because it all starts with a burning bush and the presence of God in your life. I got to quit because out of that burning bush comes your calling and your assignment and your direction and the plan of God for your life. And if you don't stop and listen to it, you'll never, ever know what your assignment is. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you this morning for revelation coming. Thank you for truth coming this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the wilderness that precedes the deliverance, the miracle, the desert that precedes the lush oasis that we're going to have. Thank you, God, for every great wind, there has been a great calm. And we're so thankful for that. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Amen.